Amen. I like the good stuff, don't you? All right, folks. Now we're gonna launch out into the deep today, and hope that we can keep our head above the water, and pray for the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. I've told you time and time and time again that I have been. I guess the word convicted is the word to use of the Lord to minister to my generation. I'm not ministering to 1940. I'm ministering to 2017. There's a vast difference between the world of 1940 and the world of 2017. So I have a responsibility to minister to you in the world you live right now. And so by the grace of God, I'm going to try to do that. Father, Lord, give me wisdom now from your word. You know, I believe the Bible. Father, I need wisdom in the Bible. And I pray you'd open the hearts of the people to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and turn the book of Genesis with me this morning. Genesis. And chapter number 3. And verse number 22. Genesis 3:22. The Lord God, Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D, tetragrammaton, said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." All right, now what have you got there in your Bible? Is that a period? That's colon. In plainer words, the sentence is not finished. But notice in verse number 23, we start a brand new sentence. "Therefore the Lord God sent him so forth from the garden." So why is it like that? It's like that because the consequences of eating and living in that state was so terrible that the Holy One simply put it forth as saying, we cannot allow this to happen. Man cannot continue to live on in his fallen condition. Can you imagine how sin corrupts? It does, it corrupts. You know, that's why I brought before you the idea of the essence of sin. I hope you think about it and pray over it. Just like the essence of God, the essence of a spirit. Nobody knows that. But Satan sinned a long time ago. Satan still is in existence. Satan still lives. Can you imagine the consequences of that sin on his intellect, upon his being, upon his essence? After thousands and thousands of years? For example, you take a human being. You take a man 70, 80, 90 years old that doesn't know the Lord. You can see how corrupt his mind has become, his heart has become, his very being over a simple lifespan of 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Right? Multiply that times 100. Think about it. Think of how degenerate a creature would be after 4,000 or 5,000 years of sin. Because sin is a corrosive thing. It corrodes. It eats away at the very fabric of life. Sin is the antithesis of life. So in any event, we have a warning here and a pause where God says, we're not going to let this happen. It's the mercy of God. But now, the idea here is that there is available something from man that man really does not want to touch. And that God in his grace has protected mankind, even though man never thought about it for a moment. God has protected man from that fatal leap. And that's what you find in the book of Genesis. Now, do you know what transhumanism is? Do you know what transgender is? You're living in an age of transgenderism, which is an outgrowth, the product of the gay movement that started a few decades ago. Make no mistake about it, folks. You are observing the process. It's far from over, but the end game is not too far down the road. Now, the Bible's very clear about what makes a man. You live in a body. You are a spirit. And you have a soul. The Old Testament uses a number of Hebrew words to define what man is. For example, the Old Testament word ruach is the word for for soul in the Old Testament. The word in the Old Testament, nephesh, is the word for spirit in the Old Testament. Or ruach is spirit. Nephesh is soul in the Old Testament. Then there's about 5 or 6 or 7 different words that are translated body in the Old Testament. Now here's why. Here's why this is important. The Old Testament does not make a clear distinction between the soul and the body. Let me give you a prime example of that. Look over here in the book of Deuteronomy. Make it Numbers 9, verse 6. Numbers chapter 9, verse number 6. Now look at this carefully. There were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man. All right, that word body right there is from the Hebrew word nephesh. Nephesh, which is translated soul in other places. So what have you got here? You've got an interchanging of words that refer to the same thing, but the Bible doesn't make a clear distinction between the two. That the body and the soul here, no clear distinction. Why? And the reason is because none of them were born again. Colossians 2 says that you have been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of death. And I've read a lot of commentaries where they make fun of that. They mock at that as if to say, when someone interprets it the way I do, like, I'm being cut free from my body. There is a clear distinction made between the body and the soul and the spirit, and there is. Because that's what makes us who we are. They say, why is that important? Because the Bible said God made man in his own image. When he made man in his image, he gave a prohibition against murdering a man. Over here in the book of Genesis, he made it very clear. In Exodus, chapter number 20 and verse number 13. Exodus 20, 13. I'm going to show you a very important passage in the way the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. Exodus 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. How many has heard that? You've heard it 1,000 times. This is the classic Ten Commandments. Now go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 19 and verse 18. And here is the New Testament commentary on that word. Matthew 19, 18. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, he said to them, which Jesus said, and he's talking about the commandments, verse 17. Thou shalt do no murder. Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery, on and on and on and on. Hold on a minute, preacher. Is there a difference between thou shalt not kill and thou shalt do no murder? If you can't tell the difference in that, you're in bad shape. You see, man is made in the image of God. When you kill a man, you'd better know why, what's going on. Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God that man was made. Okay? The image of God means that the life in that man is of a much higher order than of an animal. Okay? And once you accept the fact that the life in a human being is of a much higher order than an animal, then you are accountable to the one who made that man. The reason today that people can take an automobile and run into a crowd of people and indiscriminately kill whoever they run over is because they have no concept of the fact that a man's life is of a much higher order than an animal. Much higher. And you see the whole generation today, the culture of this country, they've completely lost the idea that man is made in the image of God. So they don't respect human life. They don't respect it. This is why that when a police officer tries to rescue a man in a car turned upside down, he pumps 14 rounds into that police officer and murders him on the spot. They have no concept of what human life is about. They cannot differentiate between an animal and a man. And believe me, a lot of that comes from anthropology and from the classroom and from sociology and psychology and the rest of the garbage that's pumped into the minds of people. Didn't mean to get the preaching. I'm supposed to be teaching in here this morning. Carried away. But that's right. That's exactly right. Okay. Now, we established something. The reason I'm doing this is a foundation for where we're headed. Man is not an animal. Man is made in the image of God. The life of a man, therefore, is of a much higher order than the life of a dog or a cat, a squirrel, so forth and so on. That life came from God. Now, an angel, for example. Where did the life of that angel come from? Well, God created that angel. All right? The life of that angel did not come from God. But when God made a man from the dust of the ground, the life that is in that man came from God. You can't find any place from Genesis to Revelation, not one time where it ever said anything about an angel being killed. Have you? No, but you can kill a man. Nowhere in that Bible, not one time, is an angel, a cherubim, or a seraphim ever mentioned in the context of killing them. Do you know why? They have a completely different order of life than a man does. A man's life is in his nostrils. It's his breath. It's frail. He can lose it. You ever heard somebody talking about lose his life? He can lose it. He can be killed. This is why God put the prohibition on killing men, because a man is a fragile creature. The only thing that will make it different is when God puts the very life of God in you. And when he puts the life of God in you, he puts a spiritual life in you that was not in there before. And that life cannot be killed. That's eternal life. And that life is hid with Christ in God. Now, you've got a generation out here, folks, screaming and ranting and raving and running the hills and running through the streets that don't have a clue what I'm talking about. They don't have any concept of life. They don't have a concept of what life is about. But I just gave you a lot of heavy stuff out of the Bible to explain to you how that if I shoot a dog and shoot a man, there's a big difference between shooting a dog and shooting a man. Big difference. Big difference. Big, big difference. So, and they used to know that. They used to talk about it on television. They used to talk about it in the movies. Things, you when you watch a movie 50, 60 years old, you hear words used in those movies 50 years ago that had a meaning entirely different than it does today. And it kind of reminds you of how everything has changed. We don't live in the same world. All right. Now, therefore, the source of a man's life is God. The breath of God became the soul of man. The source of his life is God. Therefore, the life that God gave a man goes back to God. The Bible said in the Old Testament, the Spirit returns to God who gave it when that creature dies. The Spirit, the breath of life, that's all it means. The breath of life goes back to God. Transhumanism begins to get into an area that is, you have to create the mindset in the people to receive transhumanism. When we'll define it in a moment, but let's lay the groundwork for it. When Darwin came out with he postulated in the 1800s about the theory of evolution, he reduced man from the image of God to nothing more than an animal. That's what he did. And of course, they grabbed that and they ran with it. And the latter part of the 1800s, early part of the 1900s, eugenics was born. Eugenics, the idea that you can breed a master race of people. Don't let them tell you anything else. That's exactly what it meant. We will breed through genetics a master race of people. Hitler grabbed it and put it into motion. In this country, all the way up until the 30s and the 40s, and it may be even further than that, I haven't done as much a detailed study as I should on this, but there were sterilization laws in states in America that were the direct product of eugenics, that they would sterilize certain people. Now, that's the sordid history of America that you need to understand. When you accept a bouquet of flowers, you accept all the flowers in that bouquet. And you set that bouquet down and you step back and look at it, and it's a beautiful bouquet of flowers. But some of those flowers in there may be poisonous. You can't eat all of them. Some of them you can. You can eat some flowers, but don't try to eat all of them. You can get in trouble. So that's the way it is with America. I'm an American. I accept America as America. And the more I learn of American history, the more I appreciate a lot of things. But it also educates me on certain things. Nobody's perfect. Don't ever let them flim-flam you and make you think they are. No country's perfect. America's got its problems. It's had its problems. But it's still, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest country on earth. You understand what I'm saying? You're far better off to be versed in these things than not. So eugenics was born. Eugenics, the idea that you can, through genetic engineering, which they didn't really have the technology then, but they've got it now, through genetic engineering to produce a master race, breed out characteristics you don't like and breed in characteristics you do like by selective genetic breeding. When they discovered DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, back in the 50s, DNA, when they discovered that, they opened the door. Because that is the key that unlocks the genetic engineering. Because that is the code built into DNA that is mind-boggling at the amount of information that is programmed right there in DNA. So that opens the door. Now man has rejected God, and he's rejected the truth of Scripture. He has rejected the eternal life that's offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that you will ever, ever want to live forever is the life of God. For you to exist for a million years without the life of God is the worst curse you could ever imagine. You are cursed beyond belief. Amen. To exist, you notice I didn't say live. To exist a million years without God and without the life of God is a curse beyond imagination. So, man rejects God, he rejects his word, he rejects Christ, he rejects eternal life, and so therefore he turns to darkness, but he creates his own light. As the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, they let their own sparks fly. And Isaiah said, all right, you live in the sparks that you create. You follow the light of the sparks that you create. And they're not much, but anyway, they're in that. So what happens? Man has taken leaps and bounds in technology. And this is what Daniel's talking about. He said, knowledge shall increase. And it has increased exponentially. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I mean, you're talking about 100 years ago, things were, it's unbelievable at the difference. So man has progressed exponentially in knowledge. Not in morality. Not spiritually. But the point is this. Evolution is not only biological. Evolution is social. And now it is spiritual. They are evolving to the point to where they can now control their own evolution. Now let that settle in for a moment. Once a man reaches that plateau where he has come to the point where now he realizes that evolution has brought him to the point, evolution has brought him to the point where he can control his own evolution. Meditate on that for a while. That's what transhumanism is about. That's the basis. That's the foundation. That evolution, which everybody believes, we all embrace evolution. It's a wonder, God-given thing. Amen? Of course not. You know, I speak in jest. I am adamantly, it's a bunch of garbage. But the point is, this is the way they think. So evolution has brought us to where we are. Evolution's done a good job so far. But, you know, how many of you hear that we need to progress on? We've got to progress on. We've got to progress on. That's the mindset. That's the brainwashing. Throw away the old. Get rid of the old norms. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. We're pressing on. What was wrong then's right now. Everything's changed. Paradigm shift. But I'm trying to tell you how these people think. They believe that evolution has brought them to the point. Evolution has. Where they are now in control of their own evolution. Because their mind, their spirit, technology, and all of that has reached the point where they can control their future. Now, how many of you know who Hawking is? 72, 73 years old. Bill Gates, you know who he is? Poor fellow's fallen on hard times now. He's only worth about 75, 80,000 million. Yeah, Bill Gates. That's right. But these two have come out recently, and both of them have said this. They have said artificial intelligence, AI. If you ever see AI, that's what they're talking about. Artificial intelligence has the potential to destroy mankind. Now, we're talking about two brains here. One knows how to make money, and the other one is a what do they call him? A molecular physicist, or there's another term for it. I forget what he's, what's it called? Theoretical, that's it. Theoretical physicist, Hawking. So, nobody's ever doubted the fact that they're both gifted in their areas. All right. And they're saying that artificial intelligence has the potential to destroy mankind. Now, Hawking is the one who also warned about CERN and said that you may open a door, and when you open that door, what comes through that door, you may not be able to handle. You know, you may not be able to control it. And somebody said, well, nothing came through the door. How do you know? When a spirit does something, do you think it's going to get up here to the pulpit and say, get out of the way, preacher, I've got something I'm going to tell the folks. And just tell you plainly? No, that's just why the only real protection you've got is the Holy Ghost in the Bible, because you live in that time. But anyway, artificial intelligence is the intelligence that is produced by quantum leaps in computer technology, nanotechnology, a lot of other technologies that work within the framework and produce an intelligence that is capable of reproducing itself. Now, you see, the problem that we have when it comes to a computer, it doesn't get tired. You do. Your eyes get tired. You're capable of error. You know, you overlook something. Computers don't. They, as far as the mechanical part is concerned of a computer, they do the mundane, repetitious work over and over and over again. And they do the calculations depending on how powerful that computer is. Supercomputers, super, super, supercomputers. One of the biggest things holding computers back right now is conductors. Because you pass a current through a conductor, you create heat. And more heat you got, the more resistance you've got. And that's one of the biggest problems. That's one of the biggest problems in battery technology. The reason you can't go buy an electric car right now, well, the motor's not the problem. That electric car will take you anywhere you want to go. The problem's the battery. The problem is a battery that's capable of storing enough energy for that thing to take you from California to New York. And why? Because of resistance. So the superconductors, like when you've got so much today, you got the internet, and you go home and your internet is so much faster. One of the reasons, because of optics, fiber optics. You're not running through a strand like copper. Now you're moving through light beams, and a lot of difference in there. And all these things technicians are working with right now. Hey, we're on the cusp right now of something exploding when it comes to technology. It's unbelievable, the stuff that's out there. And people are living 10, 20, 30 years in the past. Let me give you some of the things that transhumanism is about to do for us. But before we take that leap, let's look at transgenderism. What is transgenderism? Transgenderism is passing from male to female or female to male, all right? You say, well, you know, there's a problem there. Did you know they're giving children 5 and 6 years old now? They're giving them hormone therapy. Did you know they're giving them drugs that will inhibit the development of their sexual organs as they were born with, their biological sex? They're giving, and who are they doing this to? 4, 5, 6 year old children? They're doing this stuff. Now, who's doing this? Who is doing this? Who's pulling these strings? Who's calling these shots? Who is it that set themselves up as God Almighty to begin to manipulate the gender of human beings? Who did that? It's the same crowd that fired that man from Google the other day because he dared. He dared to challenge the status quo. You see, they trump freedom of speech, First Amendment. That's wonderful. But when it comes down to your job site, you don't have a First Amendment freedom of speech. It's gone. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Transgenderism is the mixed, it is the confusion produced in the human psyche of people who are spoon-fed in this country, who the only thing they care about is sex and a six-pack. And as long as they're comfortable, as long as they've got what they want, they don't care who runs the show. And it's producing a mindset in them that whatever the government says is okay. And it is the next step before androgyny, What is androgyny? What's Baphomet? You talk about him a lot, don't you, brother? Baphomet? Zebi Levi, whoever it was, drew that back in the 1800s. A Jew drew that graphic of Baphomet. Baphomet is both male and female. Both male, female. What's that, preacher? All right, if that's not confusion of gender, I don't know what is. But here's the sinister part of it. He is capable of reproducing from himself or herself alone. Now, you're getting this. This is what's important. Without the need of a male or a female, uniting is normal. God made them back there in the book of Genesis. This androgynous creature, which is both male and female, can reproduce itself. That is Pandora's box. That is the opening of an entirely new quantum paradigm leap into the dark. But that's where they're at. They're at that point where transgenderism leads to androgyny, where you've got both male and female in one. So what have you done? You've got the people to accept the fact that something can reproduce itself, and by reproducing itself, it has no need of anything else. And this is where artificial intelligence, this is where nanotechnology, this is where these things I'll be talking to you about in a moment, where they begin to come together. They seem to, many things don't seem to be connected at all, but when you begin to look at the final analysis, they are interconnected like you would not believe. There is a man that's going to step on the scene. He's going to come. When he shows up, he is going to be the personification of Satan in flesh, evil. He's called the Antichrist. This country has absolutely been left void of any Bible teaching. They have no concept of what I'm talking about. The Antichrist is going to be a creature like this world has never known before. Amen. Never known before. It says in the book of Daniel, he shall not have a desire for women. Right? No desire for women. That's been interpreted a lot of different ways. Homosexual, this, that, so forth, and so on. But one interpretation could certainly be that he's androgynous, right? There's no desire, no need for a woman. You know, the natural order where God made man and a woman. You go back and look at that thing, it's quite remarkable when you think about how God designed reproduction. It really is. You think about the difference between the body of a woman and the body of a man. Mother Nature's smart, isn't she? I mean, really, think about it for a minute. Look at the difference between the body of a woman and the body of a man. The bone structure is different. Anthropologists, when they dig up the bones, they can tell you if it's a man or a woman. And not a bit of flesh anywhere. Just bones. And they can tell you the difference because of the structure. That didn't evolve, folks. It was made like that. I won't get up here and start. I get so mad about some of this stuff, I can't stand it. I'm telling you the truth. I really do. How many of you know what a flagellum is? A flagellum, I think it's called. A flagellum. How many of you know what a motorboat is? It's got a propeller in the back of it back there. You stick it down the water, and away you go. And that's what that thing is. It's a little old thing down inside the body that's got a thing on the back of it that turns just like that. And it's moving around in the body. It's called a flagellum. Isn't that an amazing thing? God put a motorboat inside your body before man ever made a motorboat. That's exactly what it looks like, a motorboat. Now, how long did it take? And the thing is that where that, it's got a shaft going back to the, for this, and that shaft sits inside a joint, and it's remarkable. If you like mechanics, go check in this afternoon. Just Google flagellum or flagellum. I forget exactly the pronunciation of it. But just Google it and look at that thing, and it'll blow your mind. So how did it get that way? That's how it got that way. The maker, the creator. So let me give you some of the things here that it's very important. Let me read some here. I mean, I've laid quite a bit down for you. There's a lot of different ways to approach stuff like this. Here's an article I got the other day off the web. It said the goal of transhumanism is to use technology to release mankind from the confines of nature. Okay. The universal spirit. You remember? The universal spirit. All right. This business of karma, this business of reincarnation, this business of coming back in the next life. You're not coming back in that body, are you? You got cattle roaming around over there in India right now, right? Cattle? Okay. They don't eat those cows because that could be granddaddy. That could be great granddaddy, right? All right. Great granddaddy's not the cow, but great granddaddy has come back in that cow, okay? He has been released from the confines of a physical creation, and now he has come back in another form, in something else. They have, I've said time and time and time again, there's not an evolutionist walking the face of this earth that does not believe that there is some kind of a universal spirit out here that is behind all of this life forms that are coming into existence or being formed or mutated or whatever else they call it. I'm certainly no expert in that junk, never want to be, but all of this product of evolution. They can't tell you what it is, but there's something there, they say. Yes, there is something there. The something that's there is the Spirit of the Lord God that created everything. Amen. No question about that. The Spirit of God. All right. When you reject the Spirit of God, you totally reject the Spirit of God. What are you left to? You're left to your own devices. Okay? Now look at the terminology again. Listen carefully. The goal of transhumanism is to use technology to release mankind from the confines of nature. Do you know what they just said? They just said that mankind is not really the body that he lives in. That mankind can be brought out of that body and he can be put into something else. Whether it is the projection of his brain cells into something to retain his identity, where he can be placed into something again, to release mankind from the confines of nature. The basic building block of transhumanism is built on the idea that mankind is not the vehicle he's living in, that mankind is something altogether different than what he's living in. How far from the Bible is that statement? It's right down the line with the Scripture. But they're coming at it from an entirely different point of view. They're doing studies right now about the difference between the brain and the mind. They're deep into that. They're trying to figure out how that the mind and the brain coexist. One of them says, the brain is made out of flesh. The brain's made out of flesh. So for the mind must be connected to a fleshly brain. Then another one says, well, you know what? We've discovered that there's more to flesh than simply flesh as we understand it. That there is the presence of some kind of a thing that it's hard to explain, and that the mind is connected to that. And they all agree that the mind is the person. That if we take the mind out of the flesh and put it in something else, they've still got the person, even though the brain is going to pass off and go back to dust. In plain words, this is one of their avenues of the transhumanist. This is one of their avenues of eternal life. It's the idea that they can take their identity, their mind, and they can pick it up and bring it out of the confines of nature, and they can put it into some other vehicle. Now, step further. If we can do that, why can't we duplicate that? Since we can take the mind out of a confines of nature and put it over here in something, why don't we duplicate it? Therefore, if something happens to this vehicle, we're still in another vehicle. Are you following me? In other words, there could be 20 of you or 100 of you And every one of them identical. So if some sinister artificial intelligence decides to wipe out all mankind, he can't get all of you because you're scattered out in a lot of different places. You say, this is funny book science fiction, preacher. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it is not. These people believe firmly in what I'm talking about. Firmly. This is why so much experimentation is being done with the mind and the brain right now. Because these people, this is the end goal. This is the end goal. This is what they're after. Eternal life. Without God and without Christ and without the blood atonement and without the cleansing of sin. I don't want to live forever under the curse of sin. That'd be the curse beyond belief. This is what they're doing though. The mind. They're coming. They're working at it. This is what eugenics was about. This is what it all started. Listen to this. The supposedly last and current fight is over transgenderism, which goes much deeper and attacks the very bedrock on which civilization's cornerstone rests. It challenges what it means to be human by attacking the fundamental order of creation, the binary nature of gender, which is a reflection of the very image of God in humanity. We are witnessing the end game before our very eyes, but few people recognize what they are seeing. What is next in the LGBT agenda is transhumanism. Satan is fashioning a final, comprehensive, counterfeit alternative to the creation over which man finally assumes, watch this now, that he has accessed the tree of life and is persuaded that he is God. Destroying himself and goodness itself, the process. And why wouldn't you be? If you can reproduce yourself, if you can reproduce your life, you don't need God. So you are God. After all, if you accept the theology of a universal spirit, the monad that Plato talked about, if you accept that theology, then there is no God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a demiurge. There is no God of the Old Testament. He's a tribal, jealous, petty God. The true God is the oneness with all of this existence. This is why God is in everything. Pantheism, that's one of the bedrocks of this junk. And therefore, you are God. You're God. I'm God. He's God. She's God. See what I mean? Since we're God, we can reproduce ourselves. And by the way, that's how we got here to start with. By reproducing ourselves. If you get into the occult part of it, they'll tell you that the physical world that you live in right now, the physical mind that you have right now, has been corrupted and you don't remember where you came from. This is why the aliens that are coming from outer space, they're coming down here to remind us of our origins. And these aliens are going to help us find our true selves and lead us on into godhood. Every occult science that I've ever read when it comes to UFOs and this stuff, that's the basic message from these people. That's their message. That the aliens are here to help us. And they're here to help us break free from the bonds of the physical so that we can be reminded again who we are and where we came from. That's what Blavatsky was teaching in Theosophy. That's been the message of the occult world for generations. And the Bible is so different from that. For the Bible teaches that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And that God became a man 2,000 years ago and dwelt among us. And God was incarnate in flesh, went to a cross and died for us. He that was the essence of God became the essence of sin. How far is the difference between the two? How much love does it take to become, to be the essence of God and then become the essence of sin? In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he saw that coming, he quivered, he shook, and he bled. It wasn't the cross at Calvary that he was asking for God to remove the cup. It had nothing to do with the cross. For the joy that was set before me endured the cross, despised the shame. It was the wrath of God who removed himself from him and turned him into sin, who knew no sin. Boy, 2 Corinthians 5. And if that doesn't show you how far our Creator went when he made us from nothing, before he ever made the first man, he knew exactly what he was going to do with man. He knew our destiny. He has never and ever, never, ever will react to anything known unto God or all of his works. Satan is the one who reacts. Because you better believe he's standing over there watching. What now? What's he going to do next? He doesn't know, nor do the angels know. But God knows. Amen. I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. I'm not going to start this next part because we're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper and crazier, and you put a straitjacket on me. We're taking our preacher down to the funny farm. He has flat gone off the deep end. Would you all do something with him? Yeah, we'll pump him full of drugs. We'll fix him. All right. That's enough for this morning. We'll be talking about space colonization. We'll be talking about mind uploading. We'll be talking about gene therapy, RNA interference. We'll be talking about molecular manufacturing, nanotechnology, autonomous self-replicating robots, artificial intelligence. We'll be getting all that next Sunday as we take step two in this. Yeah, brother. Well, now, they were created from God. But the life of an angel is entirely different from the life of a man. See, that's what I'm trying to say. I can't define the life of an angel no more than I can define the life of a man. Because the life of a man is a spirit. And we can't define the essence of a spirit, can we? We don't know the essence of a spirit. Do you know the essence of God? Of course not. Nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, does it ever define the essence of a spirit. So the essence of our life, we can't define it. The essence of the life of an angel, we can't, but it's two entirely different lives. As far as I know, from the way I read it in Scripture, you can't kill an angel. Now, when an angel came down to the daughters of men, angels united with women, Genesis 6, Nephilim were born. All right, Nephilim comes from the Hebrew word Naphal, which means a fallen one. They could be destroyed, because that's what it says in the book of Isaiah. He visited and destroyed them. They were neither angel nor human. So God destroyed them. But you can't find it anywhere. The angels that kept not their first estate, he has reserved in Tartarus, the lowest hell. Cast them down to the lowest hell. But he didn't destroy them. See? I don't know. Some of these things you can't explain. Yes, sir. Iron in the Bible is never set in a good context.
So it's some people say it's an empire, but the further that we get down and have knowledge of these things that they're trying to do with mankind, I believe they bring it to a whole new life, because you also, in Revelation, they just seek death and shall not find it. Once you get that far, these people cannot die.
Well, the scripture you're quoting, Revelation, there's a time here on this earth when men will seek death and cannot find it, will flee from them. Yes, that time's coming. I know. And the good thing about this class is that we want people to, everybody has their opinion, want them to think. Debate is a good thing. Debate is a good thing.
I don't think that
never want to enter the demons that want to possess, because there's a problem with when a demon possesses a man, he has to contend with that spirit that's in man, or that soul. So by removing that factor and having a body for these creatures to enter, then they can take over directly. And
well, they sure left that old boy at Gadara and went into the swine.
Yeah.
Swine couldn't handle it, though, could they? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. There's a lot going on there. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Right. What he's talking about is good, though, Elon Musk. There's a lot going on there, folks. I just threw a little bit out there to you about this, but you don't see much. There's not. You have to get in the right journals and read the right magazines and know the right references, because you don't read a whole lot about what's going on with this stuff. But it's moving. It's moving like a freight train.
Yeah.
It's really going. Yes. I know, you get into the reptilian thing. I've heard a lot about it. You wouldn't believe how much I've read about shapeshifters. Yes, there's an awful lot among the Western Indians, the Indians in this country, about shapeshifters, about the reptilian, about them changing from human to an animal form, and all kinds of stuff, traditions that they have that. But there's an awful lot of wild stuff going on in that shape-shifting reptilian. And you see all kinds of people on YouTube that you recognize them, and they say, now this is a reptilian. And they'll pull a close-up of their eyes, and it'll show a slit up like this. But you can do anything with a camera. You can do anything with Photoshop. And you got to watch stuff like that. There's a lot going on, though. You don't just dismiss it. But you've got to be very careful how you handle that kind of stuff, because the floodgates are open. Everything in the world is coming into our culture now, and it's unbelievable. And we just have to, you got to stick with the book and stick with the Lord, or you get in trouble. Brother Ollinger, will you dismiss us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you to pitch our attention to you, Father, great Elohim, and we just ask for your blessing this morning, and thank you for the good teachings of truth this morning that came before your people and taught us about what's going on in the world, the things that we need to know. Thank God that we have a man of God to get up and tell the truth. We need to hear the truth and not a lie. There's a lot of engineers that want to hear lies. It's not this church. We want to hear the truth, Father. I just thank you for the blessings of that truth that are going out amongst your people. We just ask that you would apply the seed of truth into our hearts and our lives, and see and lift the veil that is surrounding us daily, and lift that veil and let us see the truth for what it is, Father. And as we close this, we just ask for your blessing on it, Father, and give the preacher unction to preach this morning as he gets up and gives us some more truth from your holy word, Father. And we thank you for what a blessing to have your word in our presence. We just esteem it so much higher. Your word is higher than your name, Lord. So we should take in effect that we have your holy word, and it's with us, and we should apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, we just thank you so much, and we just want you to come and be in the midst of all of us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, and let us praise you and worship you in spirit and truth. Great Elohim, we thank you so much, Father, for all that you do and all that you continue to do. Guide our footsteps in our path, Father. Lord, just come down amongst us. Let us worship you in spirit and truth and fill our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.